Well, Brother Jeremiah, how did you ever get your car out of here Sunday?
Brother John, let me air pump.
Well, hallelujah, Brother John. Did that air it up? So you did tear the tire up.
Yeah, just the halfway between home and church, it was enough to do it in.
The discount tire was open on Sunday?
No, it was Monday.
Monday, okay.
Monday. I had to air it up twice, but he lent it to me.
Well, amen.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord for Brother John, a discount tire warranty. Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's take them and turn to Ruth chapter 2. I want to thank Brother John. Been thanking Brother John a lot. I want to thank him for covering last Wednesday night for me. I was under the weather, still a little under the weather, or medium under the weather. I don't know what you call it. I always feel good after I get out of church, right? I come into church maybe feeling bad, right? And then after you praise the Lord, something about the Holy Spirit, His presence here, it just washes the soul and washes, I don't know, man, it does something to you. Feel better. And then get home, right? And then get home, wake up the next day and wish there was a church service. You know, you wish there was a church service you could go to because you're feeling bad again. But anyway, ain't no medicine like church. People don't realize that. Ain't no medicine like church. It's good for the soul. Amen? And what's good for the soul is good for the body, right? All right, we are Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1. I'll take it through about verse 11 here. And we'll take a pretty good run at chapter 2 here. A short book, just four little chapters to it. But here we are in our sixth Bible study on it this evening. The Word of God reads this. It says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' The servant in charge of the reapers replied, 'She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw.' Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' Boaz replied to her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, may you open our hearts to it. And Father God, may you teach us and help us. And Lord, just make us more into the image of your Son. Lord, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be a church like Jesus. We want to be a people like Jesus. Lord, we want to see more churches being like Jesus so that this country looks more like Jesus. Father God, raise up your churches, raise up your pastors, God. Touch them, help them, anoint them. And Lord, we just seek to be a part of it. We don't seek to run it or have any authority. We just seek to serve. Father God, thank you for allowing us to serve and be ministers of your gospel, ministers to your people. lovers of people and sharers of the gospel, helpers along the way. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Now, you remember we were doing a little review, just a little two-minute thing, on the last chapter, because it is a, give me a minute here, I got a little bit of a mint left, and before I get going, I don't want to spray the front pew here with mint and saliva. That would not be good, right? They would be thinking, wow, that's too close. So anyway, I think it's about gone. So anyway, we had started a little two-minute review of chapter 1. Remember chapter 1, right? We said we could review this chapter, chapter 1, with four words. And the first word we used with you a couple weeks ago was regret. We said Elimelech shows us that a Christian has limited time to return to who? Return to God, right? Has limited time. We had a second word to review on chapter 1. We said Orpah, the word is rejection. And we said Orpah shows us that a person can be on their way to God and then turn away from God, right? Regret, rejection. And then there's a third word that ties to chapter 1, which is a good word to help us kind of review. And that word is repentance. Repentance. Ruth shows us that anyone can make a total commitment to God. Anyone. If they will bend to, submit to, surrender to the God above. In the church age, if they'll submit to, surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit. Right? They can do it. They can. Anyone can make a total commitment to God. Ruth did not turn away. Even after three requests from Naomi, go back to your family, go back to your family. She was what you could call a Velcro friend, right? Now, I don't know if Marco has done this with the kids, but you can actually rent a Velcro wall, and the kids put on Velcro suit, and the big thing is to jump and hang on the Velcro wall, right? And it takes a couple people to peel you off of the wall. It's big time fun, man, right? Run up there and turn your back to it and this and run up to it and eagle on it, you know, and stick to the Velcro wall. You know, of course it's padded, but it's covered in Velcro. Well, she was what you would call a Velcro friend. She stuck, you couldn't peel her off. I mean, she was sticking to her mother-in-law. It's often quoted, her saying that she said, that beautiful saying, is often quoted at wedding ceremonies, but this is a daughter-in-law committing herself to her mother-in-law. Remember where she says, your people will be my people, your God, my God, where you go, I will go. It's a great pattern for us, what we would call hardcore commitment. Hardcore commitment. Amen? Repentance, what is it? It's turning from your sin and turning to God. That's what Ruth was doing. Now, she was being saved out of an awful culture, Moabite culture. Moabites worshipped a variety of deities, but their chief god was named Chemosh. He was a vengeful god, and to appease him, the Moabites would kill their newborn children. It was kind of like abortion outside of the womb. They would kill their newborn children and sacrifice them to this god. But Ruth was changing her address and changing her gods for the one true God. She was renouncing the gods who really were not gods at all and embracing the one true living God. And when she committed herself to God, she was also committing herself to God's people. Amen? Which kind of pivots off of what we were talking about Sunday morning in the church. Jesus' church is a what? Man, it's a special place. It's a special thing, Jesus' church. Well, the fourth word, we've got regret, we've got rejection, we've got repentance. The fourth word of review for chapter 1, the fourth word is return. Return. What do you mean by return? Naomi shows us that a backslidden Christian can return to God. That's the point of revival. That really is. Backslidden, no more, back with the Lord. Miss Vicki, you got to scoot one way or the other. I can't see you, girl. There you go. Amen. I'm with you now. All right. I'm not up there, so, you know, you get that height, and you say it's easier to see everybody. But when you're down here on the floor, you gotta work with me. Amen. All right. So it looked like, well, I'm seeing Miss Pat. Now Miss Pat's become Miss Bicky. Miss Bicky's become Miss, because y'all transposed. Yeah, you twitched tonight. You are. You were. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Return. Naomi shows us that a backslidden Christian can return to God. You could call Naomi, pardon me. Yeah. You could call Naomi the prodigal daughter of the Old Testament. Prodigal daughter. There are some amazing similarities between her experience and the story Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. Naomi said she left full and returned empty. And that's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. Left full and returned empty. As you recall, a rebellious son demanded his inheritance. And what did he do? He strutted away from his family and his father with a pocket full of cash and spent it all on wine, women, and song, wild living. He left full, but he was soon empty. He was so broke that he had to take a job feeding hogs. And there in the midst of the mud and the manure and the slime and filth, he came to his senses. And he started thinking about his father's house. He got up, started back toward his home. Naomi heard about the food in Bethlehem, and she came to her senses and started back home as well. And maybe you know someone, as we get ready for revival, maybe you know someone that has wandered away from God like Naomi or the prodigal son, and your job is to pray for them. Pray for them to come to their senses. No, I'm good. Pray to come to their senses, right? Amen? They need to come to their senses. Now, they may be stubborn, so you pray for circumstances, a crossroad, that they would come to their senses, right? God will hear your prayer on that, right? Pray they wake up. Pray they look at what they've lost, that they would look at the mess they're in. Pray that they would realize they don't have to stay there. They can come back to God. Amen? Well, that's the review of chapter 1. I'm glad we got to do that. But let's think about chapter 2 that we just read this evening, verses 1 through 10. And let's think about it this way. Before God changes our circumstances, crossroad, difficult situation, before God changes our circumstances, He often wants to change our hearts. He wants to change our hearts. We're in a difficult time. We're at a crossroad. Oh, what's He wanting to do? He's wanting us to think about this and get on a different track or direction. He's wanting to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, we've not changed, then ultimately we will become worse. Will become worse. God's purpose for us in His sovereignty or providence, if you would rather use that word, is not to make us comfortable. We're not here to be comfortable. Now, I realize you're sitting on padded pews in an air-conditioned room, and it's pretty comfortable in here. But that's not ultimately what God wants for us. He wants us conformable, not comfortable, conformable. Conformed to His will. Conformed to His image. Make sense? Not comfortable, but conformed. Amen? Right? We tracking on that? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, conform to the image of His Son. Christ-like character is the divine goal for each of His children. And praise the Lord, we're children tonight of the Most High God, those that are saved. Well, what was Naomi? Naomi was bitter against God. She's going to make that turn and be fully come repented and come back. But at the get-go here, she's bitter against God. But Ruth, this model here, this model of commitment, surrender, Ruth was willing for God to have His way in her life. So what did God do? He began to be gracious and to work with Ruth. It's amazing what God will do if we will surrender and commit to Him. It's amazing what He will do with us. I mean, far beyond what we could ever imagine. Ruth would then influence Naomi, and then God would bring to pass a wonderful work that would eventually bring the Son of God, Jesus Christ, into the world. Ruth and Naomi had no idea that they were part of an eternal plan that would fulfill God's promise to Abraham that his seed would bring blessing to the whole world. All the way back to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Ruth's story begins with the death of a husband, but it will end with the birth of a baby in the gospel narratives when Jesus Christ is born into this world. And she is listed in the genealogy, Ruth is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We've mentioned that, but we mentioned that again to you tonight. If we want God to work in our lives and circumstances and accomplish His gracious purposes, then there are certain conditions that we must meet. Certain conditions that we must meet. We're not talking about earning our salvation. We're not talking about working to keep our salvation. We're talking about if we want God to work in our lives and circumstances and accomplish His gracious purposes. What are God's purposes? Gracious. Gracious purposes. Don't ever forget that. If that's what we want, if that's what we're desiring as a believer, I mean, if we want to have some rewards one day when we face our Master, that's what we're talking about here. Now, hey, you give me a choice. No rewards in the pit of hell, I'll take no rewards. But if you give me a choice of no rewards and rewards, I think I'm going to choose rewards. I think I want to have something to lay down at Jesus' feet. Amen? I think I want to fulfill my ultimate purpose in life of bringing glory and honor to my King, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day when I stand face to face with Him, eye to eye with Jesus Christ, the Son, I want to have something to put down. Amen? I want to have something to put down, right? So, what are the conditions we're talking about? Well, number one, we must live by faith in the Lord. That is really the balance of chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. Elimelech was Naomi's husband, of course, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight," here's the faith, "in whose sight I may find favor." I may find favor. And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. A Latin proverb says, "Providence assists not the idle." Providence assists not the idle. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. You got to get going, don't you? Right? You got to get going with the Lord. You can't throw it in spiritual neutral forever, can you? Oh, you got to get going. Now, Elijah, he was in neutral for a little bit, but not long. Got to get back at it, right? Got to get back at it. Since Ruth was not the kind of woman who could long remain idle, she asked Naomi's permission to glean in the field so they would have some food to eat. "Hey, you hungry?" "I'm hungry." "How about you?" "Starving. Got an idea. I need to go glean," right? That's what poor folk do. Poor folk go glean. I mean, that's what poor folk did in the first century during harvest time. They went and gleaned after the reapers. So, this was a step of faith on Ruth's part. She asked Naomi's permission to glean in the field so they would have food to eat. This was a step of faith on her part based on God's commandment in the law. So, this is a foreigner. This is an alien. This is a Moabitess. And she already has somewhat of a handle on some of the Old Testament promises and law. Leviticus 19, 9 through 10 talks about this law of the poor and the foreigner gleaning after the reapers. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22 speaks of it as well. Leviticus 19, 9 through 10, 23, 22, and Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 through 22. Whenever the people, whenever they reaped a harvest, God's people were to consider the poor and leave gleanings for them. They were to leave some gleanings for them. After all, who had given the harvest? God had given the harvest. Amen? God had blessed with the harvest. So God gave the harvest. We are to do what? We are to help those in need. And so God had every right to tell His people how to use the harvest. So as you harvest, leave some for the poor. So that's what they would do. The nation was instructed to treat the poor with equity. Exodus chapter 23, 3, Exodus 23, 6, Leviticus 19, 15, Proverbs 22, 22 through 23, Proverbs 22, verses 22 and 23. And not only were they to treat the poor with equity, they were to treat the poor with generosity. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. God was also concerned for the widows, many of whom were poor. And He told the people to care for the widows. Again, Exodus 22, verses 22 and 24, and Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Ruth was not only poor, but Ruth was a poor widow. Ruth was not only poor, she was a poor widow in a foreign land, right? I mean, she was out of luck, right? Without anything, right? But she's also this alien. Therefore, because of her status as poor, being a widow, being an alien, she had every right to look to God for His help and provision. Deuteronomy 10:18 says, He defends the cause of the fatherless. Deuteronomy 10:18, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Amen? To live by faith means what? It means to take God at His word and then act upon His word. To take God at His word and then act upon His word. Right? To take God at His word and then act upon it. Because James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. It's dead, yeah. Since Ruth believed that God loved her and would provide for her, she set out to find a field which she could glean. This was completely an act of faith, because being a stranger, she did not know who owned what field, right? She did not know who owned the various parcels of ground that made up the fields. There were very little boundary markers during this time for each parcel. Each owner knew what he owned, but when all of it's grown up together, you don't have the massive combine tractors that you have today. And so, you know, people are just out there swinging sickles and reaping the harvest. This field turns into this field, and that field transitions over to this field. And as a woman and an outsider, she was especially vulnerable out there in the midst of all of that. And she had to be careful where she went. But she had faith enough to step out and go. And in this step of faith is where this other character enters our story that we read about by the name of Boaz. We see him in verses 1 and 3. Verse 3, Ruth says, let me read it here. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Verse 3 says, Ruth happened to come to this portion of the field. But was this an accident? It's the sovereignty of God, right? Her steps were guided by the Lord. Her steps were guided by the Lord. Remember when, what was it? It was Abraham's servant that went to find, what was her name? Rebecca. And he was getting Rebecca for, who was he getting Rebecca for? Going back to the homeland. Yeah. Was that Isaac? Yeah, Rebecca. And so when the servant comes upon, Abraham's servant comes upon Rebecca, it's the same thing here. Ruth's steps were guided by the Lord, just as this servant in Genesis 24:27, the Word of God reads, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Right? The Lord leads us, amen? God's providential working in our lives is both a delight and it's a mystery at the same time. It's both a delight and a mystery, right? God constantly, He's constantly working with us. Mark 16:20. You got to believe that. If you're saved, God is constantly working with you. God's constantly working with you, but He's constantly working in you. And you got to believe that if you're saved. The Holy Spirit's in you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. God's constantly working with us. He's constantly working in us. And you've got to believe if you're saved that He's constantly working for us. He's not working against us. He's working for us, Romans 8:28. And He's accomplishing His purposes. But what did we describe those purposes as? Gracious. He's constantly what? Working out and accomplishing those gracious purposes. So what are we to do? What are we to do in the midst of it? We're to pray, right? We're to seek His face, right? That's what we're to do. We've got to do that. Pray, seek His will, seek His face. And we make decisions. We've got to make decisions. And sometimes we get it wrong, but sometimes we get it right. So we learn from the mistakes, pick ourselves up, shake ourselves off, and we don't just give up and go on the corner and pout and stew and sit. No, we get back out there working for the Lord, serving God, and we just keep plugging along, keep going. Amen? That's what we do, right? Even after we make mistakes, we just pick ourselves up, shake it off, and just keep on trucking with the Lord, right? But it's God who orders the events of our lives. It's God who guides us along the path if we're willing children, right? If we're willing children. God's sovereignty, His providence, is kind of like the spectacular vision that Ezekiel had in Ezekiel chapter 1. Oh, man, it's powerful. It's potent and powerful. The sovereignty, providential will of God, providential workings of God are depicted by Ezekiel as he describes a throne set on a firmament. A throne set on a firmament that was moved here and there, by wheels within wheels, Man, what does that look like? How does that work? Wheels within wheels. You can't explain it, but praise the Lord, you can believe it. Amen? Wheels within wheels, right? So, what must we do, Pastor? We must live by faith. Secondly, we must live by the grace of God. Amen? That's the balance of the chapter. When Ruth set out that morning to glean in the field, she was looking for someone who would show her grace. Look at verse 10 with me. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor? Grace, why have I found this grace in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" See that? Verse 13, then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." What is grace? Grace is favor. It's favor bestowed on someone who does not deserve the favor, who cannot earn the favor, but the favor, the grace, is still given. As a woman, as a poor widow, and an alien, Ruth could have no claims on anyone in that part of the world during that time. She was on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. I mean, buddy, she's at the bottom. She's at the very bottom. The channel of that grace, the channel of that favor that Ruth received was none other than this man by the name of Boaz. How good to know that God has good people living in bad times. How good to know that God has good people living in bad times. From the record of the book of Judges, y'all remember Judges, don't you? Remember that story? Sin, judgment, crying and carrying on. God sends a deliverer. People are delivered. Short time of faithfulness. Sin, judgment. Back and forth. I mean, it just went on and on and on. Y'all remember that? Amen? From the record in the book of Judges, we might conclude that the righteous had perished from the earth. Remember how those last four chapters or last five chapters ended? I mean, that was out there, wasn't it? I mean, that was really out there. But in this context, in the book of Ruth, there were still people like Boaz who knew the Lord and sought to obey His will. Knew the Lord and sought to obey His will. Boaz was concerned about his workers. He wanted them to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. But no sooner had Boaz greeted his workers than his eye caught the presence of a stranger in the field, and a lovely stranger at that. Now, I get the impression that when he saw her, it was like at first sight, or love at first sight, or infatuation at first sight. For from that point on, Boaz focuses his interest on Ruth, and he's done really thinking about the harvest. He's thinking on this young lady. And though an alien, Ruth was an eligible young woman whom the young men of the town would notice, it indicates that Boaz had already heard about Ruth. So she was kind of like the new girl at school. Everybody was talking about Ruth, right? And so the word had gotten out, but the word had also gotten out about how good of a heart she had, right? How faithful of a daughter-in-law she was. And so he gets to meet her big time. Again, we marvel at the overruling sovereignty, providence of God. The Lord led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and then the Lord led Boaz to visit his field while Ruth was there. And when Boaz arrived, Ruth might have been resting in the shelter house that Boaz provided for his workers, or she might have grown weary and gone home to Naomi. But guess what? She was there to meet. Amen? So when we commit our lives to the Lord, what happens to us happens by way of appointment, not by accident. We always want to talk about, ooh, man, fate. Ooh, no, it's the sovereignty and providence and the appointment of God, not an accident. If you're saved, you got to hold on to that. Amen? You got to hold on to that. Ruth was still a poor widow. She was still an alien. But God was about to create a new relationship that would completely alter her circumstances. Amen? We'll stop there. I've got some more, but we need to have some time to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for tonight as we get back into this study of the book of Ruth. And Lord, we pray that we would live by faith in the Lord. We pray that we would live by grace. We would live by the grace of God. Lord, we would have a better understanding and a better sense of how You're caring for us and how You're directing our lives so we can bring glory and honor to Your name. Lord, so that we can get the gospel message out to a lost and dying world. So as people are saved, as people come around and come back to Christ, there's more glory and honor given to Your name. Lord, we thank You for the process. We thank You that we're able to be in it, that we're able to contribute, that we're able to live for it and think about it and pray for its consummation, Lord, of lost people being saved. We know You desire that. So, Lord, we pray You help us live by this faith, and we pray You help us live by the grace of God. And, Lord, may You just continue to add to us, and may we have a better sense of the appointments of life that You place before us. And may we just worship you for that and thank you for that. And just rest in that blessed assurance that you've got our best interest at heart and that you're directing us. Thank you for these, Lord, that you brought out tonight. Be with us as we go in this time of prayer. And it's your name we pray. Amen. All right. Bobby, we want to pray for you tonight.